Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, Jesse Tapia behind the glass. And we're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock. Just wanted to let you know right now that the 49ers and Raiders' next preseason game is against each other.
Hmm.
On Saturday, coverage right here on ESPN 1320 begins at 12:30.
Nice.
Tap in. Hell yeah. Yeah, I can't with the preseason stuff.
No, it's tough. I mean, there are things that you can, like, I think I came out of it and my biggest takeaway was Nick Martin's has a lot of work to do. It wasn't that, hey, just he's done. Get him out of here. It's
sure.
just like,
yeah.
Man, you got a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Overhyped.
Yeah.
I mean, overhyped not as in he's overrated. Overhyped as in he came in with too much energy and he was too hyped up and he made a bunch of really, really silly mistakes that are going to look really bad on film.
Yeah. Here's the question, and then I want you to answer the Russell Westbrook and Malik Monk thing you were going to get into.
Yeah.
Does your prediction about the 49ers season change at all based on Saturday?
Absolutely not.
Same. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
And that's the case. That's true, by the way, for every single... Whatever I thought about NFL teams going into the start of the preseason, I feel the exact same way about all of them right now.
Yeah.
Except for like the Chargers lost their left tackle Rashawn Slater. That's a big deal. That changes how I feel about the Chargers.
Oh yeah.
But that has nothing to do with preseason performance.
Yeah, I mean like certainly preseason can change the direction of a franchise completely because of injury.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking
about. But on field performance I can't do it. What were you saying about Russell Westbrook and Malik Monk?
Yeah, I mean so I think there is this idea that you can switch out Russell Westbrook and in for Malik Monk and not miss all that much of a beat. But there is something that I want to point out, and it's that Russell Westbrook over the course of his career, even like the course of like the last 5 years, right? If we take away like his heyday when he was an MVP and walking triple-double,
mm-hmm.
he doesn't shoot that many threes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, 22-23 season, he averaged 3.9 three-point attempts per game. The 23-24 season, he averaged 2.3 attempts per game. And then last season, he was at 3.9 again. Let's take out the conversation about his percentages because, like, realistically, his percentages are all over the board throughout his entire career. They range from 29 to, like, 34%, and there is no rhyme or reason for what he does. He's even gone down as low as like 25.8%.
And there's not like any kind of trajectory.
No, there's no flow chart.
It's a scattershot of year and percentage.
Well, that and it's a scattershot if you look at one game to the next, one quarter to the next, you have no idea. And that's where I've talked about like shot selection with him. Like Malik Monk shoots a lot, like as far as like how many shot attempts per like mm-hmm. his usage rate. He does shoot a lot, but I don't ever feel like Malik Monk just took a wild inappropriate shot. On occasion he'll take one and mm-hmm. it stands out because it's usually some crazy thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's not all the time. Russell Westbrook takes three bad shots a game where you're like, what? Like how did you just hit the side of the backboard?
Sure.
Like I don't understand what just happened. So that's one thing. The other problem is that 3.9 three-point attempts that he took last year, Malik Monk averaged 6.6. And again, their percentages aren't that different. Like 32.5% for Malik and 32.3% for Russell Westbrook. But when you already have Dennis Schroeder, who doesn't shoot enough threes,
mm-hmm.
and you already have Domantas Sabonis, who doesn't shoot enough threes, and you have DeMar DeRozan, who doesn't shoot enough threes, and now you're talking about adding in a Russell Westbrook who doesn't shoot enough threes.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get to 40 or 50 threes a game? And if that's what Doug Christie wants, how do you build a roster with a bunch of guys who just don't shoot enough?
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless the idea is for Keegan Murray to average 12 three-point attempts per game mm-hmm. and keep your number up high, I don't get how they're going to get to the number that they need. You know, Zach LaVine can shoot the three. He can shoot a bunch of them. Keon Ellis can shoot the three. He doesn't shoot enough. But now we start running into this, okay, do you trust Nick Clifford as a rookie to shoot a bunch of threes?
Which, by the way, over his last 3 years where he was a full-time starter for Colorado and then Colorado State, he averaged a little over 3.3 a game.
Yeah.
Three-point attempts.
Yeah, it's just not enough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, it's part of the, when you're building a team, I get that they're, you know, again, Dennis Schroeder, Russell Westbrook, 1-2 combo, statistically not that far off as far as players. Mm-hmm. Again, Russell mm-hmm. Westbrook is a much, much better rebounder than any of these other guys, but that's just because he's one of the great rebounding guards ever. But Schroeder last season, between his three stops, he averaged 4.9 three-point attempts per game.
Mm-hmm.
But it was buoyed by 6.5 attempts on a bad Brooklyn Nets team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was in Detroit, 3.8. For throughout most of his career, 3.9.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not enough three-point attempts if your goal is to get up to a certain number per game.
Yeah, man. And is that where, if this year is about establishing identity and culture,
yeah,
if the offense Doug Christie wants to run is 50-plus threes a game, how many steps are you taking toward establishing that identity offensively?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's such a, like, peripheral thing,
mm-hmm.
but if that's what this year is about, if that's going to be the mantra of, like, no, hey, this is square one, we're building something here, and your offense is unrecognizable from what you want it to be, now we get to, let's talk about 2027. Now you get to 2027, and it's like, okay, now we can start doing the offense we want to do. Wait, what? Then what have the last 2 years been?
Well, yeah, that, and if you've won, you know, 32 games 2 years in a row, like, that offense that you were going to put in, who's going to be putting in the offense at that point?
Sure.
Because there's no guarantee that a coach survives that or a GM mm-hmm. survives that or anything else. And so, like, I just think the structure of the team right now, it really does leave you, like, scratching your head a little bit. And then I would say the other piece that I'll add in that will complicate matters even more is that the Kings have been talking about trading for Jonathan Kuminga nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Kuminga averaged 3.2 three-point attempts per game last year, which was one higher than any other point in his career. Usually it's around 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
He shot 30.5% from three. Again, if your offense is predicated and the modern NBA is predicated on three-point attempts and three-point makes, how are you loading up your roster with guys who don't shoot threes and don't make them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because both of those are an issue. Not making them is one issue. Not shooting them is another issue. Like, the spacing on the floor as of today could look horrific with the starting mm-hmm. lineup with three guys that don't shoot enough threes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good design.
And I think something you said there is important, because it's not doesn't shoot enough threes in the way we talk about that with Domantas Sabonis,
mm-hmm.
where we're like, man, if you tick up to 4 or 5 a game, you're probably still shooting 36%. You should be doing that.
Yeah.
These guys don't shoot enough because they don't make them. I don't want Russell Westbrook shooting 8 threes a game because he's a career 30% three-point shooter.
Yes.
I don't want him doing that. Dennis Schroeder doing that. And that's the issue. Is it's not, hey, just change the way you play.
Yeah.
It's, hey, if you change the way you play, the offense is going to be horribly inefficient because you have a bunch of guys who are 30 to 33% three-point shooters shooting a combined 25 threes a night.
Yeah, I mean, again,
it's not going to get it done.
DeMar DeRozan last season, one of the highest three-point attempts per season in his career, 3.3. His only other time over three, he shot 3.6 attempts in, like, 2017-18.
Mm-hmm.
He shot 32.8%. Again, it's not just that he's not shooting enough, because he's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's that he's not hitting enough either. And so now you're looking at, like, I don't want to increase his volume to five, because five at 32.8% is not a good percentage.
Nope.
So what are you supposed to do here? And that's where, like, again, I really like Malik Monk. I've said this a million times. I would keep, Malik Monk on my roster because I enjoy watching him. I know what he brings to the court. But I also think, like, the money thing is real. Mm-hmm. Like the one of the few ways to get out from the situation you're in and actually build a competitive team this year is to save $14 or $15 million at the backup point guard spot.
Sure. And,
you know, if you can find a taker. Mm-hmm. So it's tough.
Yeah, we'll see. Is Jesse, I think I can do this. I think I can be the person who does this. I think I need to do that and then this. Hey, Mitch, you're on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. What's up?
Oh, Billy, how you doing?
My bad. Sorry, that was awkward. I was pushing buttons as I was going, but this is Mitch in New Jersey on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Mitch, go ahead.
I'm surprised I got through today on a Monday. And Jesse, I want to apologize to Jesse. I was a little rude to him calling in, so I apologize.
Hang on, Mitch. We need to put everything on hold. Why were you rude to Jesse?
I just didn't say hello. I don't know why. It's like I didn't recognize his voice. I forgot to say hello. How you doing? I'm not saying FedEx was easy, but saying hello and have a nice day, that's the easy part.
Sure, totally.
There we go.
All right, what do you got for us?
Preseason should be no more than two games. Starters should be only in for like two quarters. And these three quarterbacks, Jackson Dart looks the best out of everybody. That's just me.
Okay.
And I'm hoping Trey Lance makes the team, but I'm also hoping my boy, and I wonder how you feel about this guy, DJ Uiagalelei, he's got to make the team. Heineken, he's 5'10". Go play with the PBU football. Go play in NFL Europe, please. DJ's got to make the team. He had more tools coming to college than Heineken, or even my boy, Tino Smith. He better come through today.
Right. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
You get any of that? I heard he's rooting for DJ Uiagalelei. I don't know.
Okay.
Hey, do you know what I'm rooting for?
Oh?
I am rooting for you, listener/viewer, to win 2 4-day general admission passes to Aftershock at Discovery Park Thursday, October 2nd through October 5th for a chance to win. It's super easy. Just enter on the ESPN1320.com contest page. Passes courtesy of Danny Wimmer Presents. That is 2 4-day GA passes.
Ooh, that includes that Thursday.
Yeah. Wow. It's basically Warped Tour circa 2003.
Yeah.
2005? Yeah, early 2000s.
Okay.
Go relive your youth.
The Utes.
I'm so bummed I can't go. Like, I'm going to be on a Hawaiian island, so I'm not going to be, like, mad.
Okay.
But I'm bummed that we don't get to go experience that.
Yeah.
Anyways. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse, we took Mitch's call.
How did that go?
Well,
he apologized because he said he was rude to you.
Yeah. When?
Today on the phone, because he didn't say hello to you. He didn't recognize your voice.
Oh.
So he didn't say hello.
It's okay, Mitch. I
told him not to call back ever again.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, don't ever. Mitch, unfollow me.
We got Chargers quarterback takes. You're starting a team. Are you taking Trey Lance or DJ Uiagalelei?
Just going to sell, I guess. I'm going to sell my team. If that's what it's down to, I'm going to sell my team. Or am I coaching the CFL? Is that what this is?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Trey Lance looks pretty good through two games. I mean, a Hall of Fame game, I guess preseason game and a half.
Yeah. Shout out to him, man. I think we're all rooting for him. Yeah.
Let's get better.
The Niners drafted a career backup. Yeah.
And they were going to draft a different career backup with Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Until they weren't, I guess.
Yeah, that's a Pro Bowler, FYI.
It is.
We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. James Hamm's there. That's the voice of Jesse Tapia. He typically produces D'Lo and KC, but he's nice enough to fill in today.
I'm just 1320's producer. If something's gone wrong, I'll help.
I'm going to call you the executive producer of this station. That's just the thing I'm going to start doing.
That works.
Okay, very good. I'll let the money people know.
A Jesse Tapia joint.
Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. I mentioned that the 49ers might get a little bit of help from a different team, because there's a different team, one of their competitors in the NFC who might be cooked. We'll tell you who it is next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. James is there. I'm Kyle. That's Jesse. Hanging out with you until noon. Hey, I kind of think the Rams are cooked.
Yeah.
This Matthew Stafford back stuff.
Everything we've seen today is that, yeah, he was expected to practice, but he's not doing that at all. He's not even dressed.
They've been calling him week to week and doing the, he's fine. They did what the Niners did with McCaffrey last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody remembers, but when Christian McCaffrey got shut down for training camp, they very much said, hey, it's a calf thing. We're just, we don't need him. He doesn't need to be in camp or the preseason. He'll be ready for week one. We're just being cautious. It's fine. That's how the Rams were approaching this Matthew Stafford thing. And then there was this fabled workout on Saturday where they were like, hey, he's going to work out on Saturday. We're going to see that his back is fine. And then he'll be back out there Monday for practice. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, today, Matthew Stafford not practicing and he's in street clothes, according to Adam Grossbard of the LA Times. So the Rams, we are a little under a month away from the season opener.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams starting quarterback is in street clothes during practice because of a back injury.
He's also like 37 years old, Kyle.
37.
And you're just telling me that, and again, I have a hard time counting out Matt Stafford because we've seen Matt Stafford play with like a broken neck. Or what was the game? Didn't he win a game in Detroit when we found out he had a broken collarbone?
Separated shoulder, something like that.
And threw a touchdown pass. Like, all right, sure, man, whatever. Like, he's done this kind of stuff before, but he's never been 37 years old before. And it's never been a back injury that is such that when he worked out on Saturday, he's not good to practice on Monday.
Yeah.
I think even if he's ready by week one and he suits up week one, this is going to be a thing all year. And I just don't think you're going to get high-level production from Matt Stafford. And if you're removing Matthew Stafford from the equation and you're dropping Jimmy Garoppolo into the starting lineup in LA, you suddenly feel a little different about the Rams.
Yeah, it's not great. This is how you want to avoid starting a season, especially when you have a quarterback who I don't think anyone is like super convinced that he wants to play like deep and like to his 40th birthday. Mm-hmm. He seems like a player who's nearing the end. And, you know, there were question marks whether he wanted to come back this year. And all of a sudden he's got a back injury. And, you know, again, he could show up 2 weeks from now and just be like, hey, I've been perfectly fine the whole time. I'm in great shape. Let's roll.
That would be crazy.
I just don't buy it. I don't buy it either. As someone who's had back injuries forever, and I know how difficult it is, and I don't get hit by 325-pound, you know, defensive linemen. And
not yet.
Yeah, no. I hope it never happens, but if it does happen, I'm probably not getting up for a while, and I think Matthew Stafford is probably looking at it the same way. It might just, like, at some point just go, hey, like, this isn't working out.
Yeah, maybe their defense is loaded enough, because I think that's a really good defensive unit. Maybe they're good enough, and I think Sean McVay is an awesome coach, that they're going to be fine if Jimmy Garoppolo is their starter. But I was very much on the it's the Rams and then everyone else in the division train. I think you could Rams 1, and then you can give me any order of Seahawks, Cardinals, 49ers, and I would believe you. The Rams, if Jimmy Garoppolo is their starter, I think fall back into that group where you could tell me anything about the NFC West, and I'll believe you.
Every bad story we hear about Matt Stafford's back, and like bear with me here, I care less and less about the 49ers' weak wide receiver room in the sense where the Niners really have no excuses not to win the division and all that stuff this year. Just given the way things are, like if Matt Stafford is just dealing with this back injury all season long or he's just not healthy, like I know the 49ers have a weak wide receiver room, depth issues, this, and that. There's honestly no excuses for them not to win the division this year.
Yeah,
easy schedule. Like at that point, if Stafford's in and out or if he's dealing with this issue, the Texans are the best team on your schedule.
Ooh.
Maybe. Maybe the Jags, I guess. If they play the Jags this year, correct?
Yeah, they play the whole AFC South. Depending on what they look
like. Whole point is, like, it's all there in front of you.
There's got it. Is Tampa Bay better than Houston?
Do they play Tampa Bay this year?
Yeah, they got the NFC South as well.
Well, I think they're about even, Steven.
All right. Are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers the Houston Texans of the NFC?
It's always got an NFC South.
That's a good question, Kyle.
Baker Mayfield's really good. Either way, point is, like, schedule's looking pretty weak this year.
It's a light schedule. Yeah. This is the year, and I keep saying this, to Jesse's point. If Matthew Stafford's out or plays 9 games and is ineffective, if you're San Francisco and you're not winning the division in that case, it either means you were hurt again for the eighth time in 9 years under Kyle Shanahan, or your rookie class and second year class did not produce the way you needed to. And that's, it's at that point where if the Niners are 9-8 this year, going into next year, it's make or break time for Shanahan and Lynch.
Yeah.
Going into the 2026 season, if they're 9-8, 8-9 this year, missing the playoffs, you're going into next year like, hey, you're supposed to be opening a new Super Bowl window with a new group of a new young core. And if they stink this year, or if they're very mid this year, that probably means you don't have a lot of pieces of that young core. And so you're going into 2026, you're going into another draft. All right, none of the last three drafts have gone well. Looking for something. None of the last four, 22, 23, 24, 25. Yeah, it would be none of the last four draft classes have really borne a lot of fruit.
Yeah.
And that's where you start to wonder if the team's future is best under this current regime.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be mediocre forever. I mean, and this team has certainly not been mediocre over the last decade. Mm-hmm. I mean, under Shanahan, they have not been mediocre, regardless of what TC thinks. Sure. You know, they've been to NFC Championship games. They've been to Super Bowls. They just haven't got over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it's a reboot year. Last year was a disaster. This year, like, if it was partially disastrous, you'd be like, okay, I understand. You were relying on a bunch of young players and they didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the biggest issue that you brought up there is that if you can't prove that you can, number one, draft the right guys, and number two, develop the right guys,
yes,
then there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have been able to draft and develop, and, you know, like, you don't have to look any further than Brock Purdy, or, you know, just go around. There are players on this roster that you have done a good job of developing.
Yeah.
But there's not enough of them, and there's too many drafts where you just, like, crumple up and throw away. I mean, you're getting into a danger zone like what we've seen in the past from, you know, teams like the Raiders that just waste, you know, 3-4 years of draft classes, and you're like, oh, this is brutal.
Since 2022, here's the 2022 draft. In fact, you know what? We're going to go back to 2022. I want to try and be fair here. So we're going to go to 2022, because 2021 had Aaron Banks, who got a massive free agent contract. Got Jalen Moore, who got a massive free agent contract. Deommodore Lenoir, who's still on the team and a starter. Talanoa Hufanga got a massive free agent contract. So they got, the 2021 draft is good. But 2022, Drake Jackson, I don't think he's in the league right now. Terrion Davis-Price, Danny Gray, Spencer Burford still on the team. Samuel Womack not on the team anymore. Nick Zakel still on the team. Both he and Burford reserve offensive linemen. Kalia Davis reserve defensive tackle, and Brock Purdy. So that 2022 class is some reserve offensive linemen and a reserve defensive tackle who hasn't played much. And then Purdy. Okay, that's a good pick. But then 2023, Jair Brown, not looking great.
Yeah.
Jake Moody, not looking great. Darrell Luter, special teams guy. Robert Beal, ineffective player. D. Winters might start this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... But then Braden Willis, Ronnie Bell, Jalen Graham, nothing. I could just, the finding a nice, like, maybe Jair Brown's a nice starter. But they're not trying to replace starters. They are trying to eventually replace Fred Warner.
Mm-hmm.
You have to eventually replace George Kittle. They have not done an effective job of insulating their wide receiver room.
Oh, yeah.
Where Deebo Samuel's gone, Brandon Ayuk is hurt. You have Ricky Pearsall and then Juwan Jennings, who was a seventh round pick in 2020. Like, they've just not, if you're not getting production out of the 2024 class, which is Ricky Pearsall, okay, looks like he's heading the right way.
Yep.
Renardo Green looks like he's heading the right way. Dominic Pooney looks like he's heading the right way. Malik Mustafa, same deal. Okay, you feel okay. But if that group doesn't take a leap in year two, and you've got question marks going into year three, and the 2025 class has a bunch of question marks in it going into 2026. Ugh. Like you said, at that point, it's like, okay, how many draft classes do you get to figure this out?
Yeah.
And so this is a pretty significant year, and I agree with Jesse. If Matthew Stafford's healthy, and playing the whole year. I just don't think San Francisco is as good as the Rams.
No, but I think it's more like an 11-win team versus a 10-win team.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure. But I would still pick the Rams to win the division in that case. If you're telling me it's going to be Jimmy Garoppolo for 11 games and you got banged up Matthew Stafford for six, if things go right for the 49ers, then that's a winnable division.
Yeah.
But that means Upton Stout's got to be good. Mykel Williams got to be good. CJ West got to be good. Jordan Watkins got to be productive. Like there's,
yeah,
the trajectory of the young players would beget a division title at that in that scenario.
But
if their young players aren't good, the Niners aren't going to be very good.
Well, then I'll point out the obvious. If Stafford not only doesn't play, only plays like six or eight games, but of those games, you have one or two starts against the 49ers mm-hmm. as a division rival, and you just don't have, you know, your best team on the field, mm-hmm. and you lose those games. That's gonna, you know, that has the ability to swing the division as well, just because you are playing a bunch of teams that are about the same. I'm like, I think we can all look at the teams in NFC West and go, mm-hmm. okay, like there's some variables here, but they are about the same tier.
Yeah.
Of team. If I'm going to like look at the top 32 teams in the NFL, the NFC West, most of the teams are going to be grouped between like 14 and 22. Maybe there's a little bit worse team, but not substantially.
Not to nitpick, because I think I overall agree with what you're saying, but I think in a healthy Stafford scenario, I think the Rams are probably closer to the top 10.
Okay.
But even still, you're still looking at, okay, if they're 10, the 49ers, Seahawks, and Cardinals are all probably within six spots of each other.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I'm with you there for the most part. And I we've talked about this before, but to me it could just comes down to the quarterbacks. I think you're picking the NFC West based on how you feel about each team's quarterback.
Yeah.
Like I really think that's kind of what it comes down to in that division.
I think that's how we kind of walked into this offseason, and then all of a sudden the Stafford issue has become bigger and bigger and bigger. And so it really does put that team kind of in a weird spot.
Like, hey, he got an epidural. He's going to work out Saturday. We'll see if he's back Monday. It's fine.
Like, yeah.
Oh, my God. Feels like they're really downplaying this thing.
Yeah, I agree. Not to switch gears completely, but we did have, like, earlier in the show, we talked about it during a break, but according to our friend Sean Cunningham, the Sacramento Kings will open the 25-26 season on Wednesday, October 22nd, in Phoenix against the Suns. I have that confirmed as of right now. I also have it confirmed that their home opener will be at Golden One Center versus the Utah Jazz on Friday, October 24th. Some other notes.
Hey, if they don't start 2-0,
yeah,
I'm holding people's feet to the fire.
Yes, there you go. See? I see you. See you working.
I am.
The Kings will play against Dallas at Sacramento December 27th, and again on January 6th. What looks like an NBC game. That, of course, is the first time the Kings will likely get their get to see Cooper Flagg here in Sacramento. The Kings play at San Antonio on February 21st. But De'Aaron Fox will make his return to Sacramento on March 17th. I'm also hearing that the November schedule is off the charts difficult, and it includes two games against OKC, a home and away game in the first 10. That's not a good thing for Sacramento. So we're going to slowly get more and more of the schedule seeping out here over the next day or so. With it, I think it's coming out on Thursday. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the Kings will, again, they'll open the season October 22nd against the Suns in Phoenix. Their first home game is October 24th against the Utah Jazz. And, you know, again, Cooper Flagg, late December, early January, which is awesome because that's...
Have some games under his belt.
Well, that and kids are off. For winter break.
Yeah.
So the Kings always have a very home heavy December, which is spectacular because mm-hmm. it just allows families to go see games. And I think there are going to be a lot of kids that want to see Cooper Flagg play because yeah. He is going to be like Scotty Barnes, one of the faces of the NBA moving forward.
Scotty Barnes?
That's him.
That's right. So, and then a long time to wait to play De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento.
Oh.
Yeah, like De'Aaron Fox.
You have a date?
Yeah, March 17th. It looks like that's when the Kings will play San Antonio in Sacramento. They have a game against San Antonio in late February after All-Star break. But the first time I think he's back in Sacramento is March 17th.
All right. We'll have more scheduled stuff for you later in the week. Also, the 49ers have officially announced the Jeff Wilson signing.
Oh.
So nice. Let me see. Somebody named Travis Gibson is now on the 49ers.
Yep.
Defensive lineman. Sure. Jeff Wilson Jr. is back. Amir Abdullah goes on injured reserve with whatever injury he suffered on Saturday.
Rib injuries. That's
Tanner Mordecai, gone.
Again.
And Andre Dillard, the offensive lineman who was on the PUP list, has been activated.
Mm. Okay.
If anybody cares about those things. But King's schedule officially comes out
later than the week.
Later in the week.
I think Thursday we'll start to see it.
Can't wait. That's going to be fun. Schedule releases are the thing that I don't want to care about, but I undeniably care about them every single time. Yeah. I get so into the schedule stuff. Like writing, it's tough because there's like, it's a lot of work for, hey, there's nothing happening in the NFL. And I'm sitting here working till after midnight because there's a million different angles to write about the freaking schedule.
Yeah.
But as a fan, like separating my work from it, it's like, yes, we got schedules.
I know. I can't wait. How many back-to-backs do you have? How many four games in six nights or four games in five nights, which they don't really do anymore? How many five and sevens, which they still do?
The thing I get excited for with the Kings is what's that hellacious road trip that is way more complicated than it needs to be?
Oh, yeah.
Like Atlanta to Toronto down to Miami.
Oh, yeah, that was horrible.
I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, just the worst.
It's ridiculous.
And then you go home for three games, and then you fly back to the East Coast for another. You're like, why? Why are you doing this?
It is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. And it only, I don't want to say it only happens to the Kings, but I've never seen it happen to the Warriors, and I've never seen it happen to like the Lakers and Clippers.
Yep.
But anyways, the perils of being a team on the West Coast, I guess. But anyways. That's James. I'm Kyle. He's Jesse Tapia. We're the Insiders. The handoff coming up in a moment. I think we're going to watch a CD Lamb video with D'Lo and Casey.
Sounds good.
I have a lot to say about CD Lamb getting truck sticked by a ref and then getting flagged for it. I also want to talk about Mariano Rivera living my worst nightmare. Almost literally. We'll do that next. James Hamm, Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. Hey, Jesse, guess what I'm having for lunch today?
Like, actually guess?
Yeah.
Costa Vita.
I wish.
I don't know.
I love Costa Vita. If anybody from Costa Vita is watching wants to sponsor the program, please let us know.
There you go.
I will eat a salad on air every day. I'm eating cold pizza.
Ooh.
All right. Why didn't you just tell me, hey, Jess, I'm having garbage for lunch today?
Okay. See, now that is over the line.
It's not over the line.
It's
trash.
That's crazy.
Like, no. What I do with my cold pizza when I'm done with this, I throw it away if I'm not going to heat it up.
Ridiculous. What's happening to me?
I need to go home and do the same thing, Kyle. I have cold pizza.
You too, James, huh?
Wait, you good?
Yeah. No, I thought you was in commercial.
No.
Oh, no.
We're just talking cold pizza like normal.
We're talking cold pizza. We're doing a very serious radio segment about cold pizza for lunch.
And how it's trash.
Actually, oh, you know what? No, I'm not having cold pizza for lunch today because we have an air fryer.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, oh, this is big time for me.
Okay, no, and that's everything that you need to know about cold pizza. If you loved it that much, you would eat it cold.
No, it's not that. This is where we differentiate on this.
Hold Welcome on, Ryan Damian says, Jesse wrong about a food take, super weird. Okay, I know that's a shot at the Salt Lakes thing. All right, I get it, whatever. I'm not weird, you're weird about this.
Now, for me, though, it's that I don't prefer cold pizza. It's not the preference, but when I'm hungover in the morning and I got pizza in the fridge and I can just grab it and just eat a slice over the sink without having to go through the rigmarole of taking out the air fryer and putting the pizza in the air fryer while waiting for the air fryer to heat up. Then you got to put the pizza in.
Look,
like, nah, brother. I'm gonna just down a slice of cold pizza and feel good about it.
You're about 34, 33 years old. Why are we eating over the sink?
He's 34. He's about to turn 35.
Yeah, why are we not throw that on a plate or throw that in the air fryer?
You're not even hung over that often. What are
exactly.
you talking about?
Yeah, but sometimes.
I'm grabbing a paper towel, cold pizza, walking around the house.
And sometimes the impact is still being felt of what I did consume.
Yep. No. I got you. Understood.
But did they just discontinue microwaves? Like we can't just pop it in for 45 seconds.
See, the tough thing about microwaving pizza is it's a very delicate line.
Yeah, it gets all soggy if you.
Yeah, if you're putting much have to stand there and like check it. Ah, no, that ain't it. Go again, another 10, 25. That ain't it.
No.
Too far. God damn it.
For sure, but I'll get it wrong before I have cold pizza.
Okay. Oh, no way.
These guys are super intelligent, super cool. These are my guys. This is the worst take of their lives.
No.
This is awful.
I've had way worse takes.
This is awful.
I've had way worse takes. You should see what I had to say about Johnny Manziel before the draft. Holy smokes.
I'm glad we got D'Lo and Casey here to bring some normalcy to this nonsense.
Can we?
Dadgummit, congratulations.
He's
you played it safe.
A whole box of Colby Jones fan club shirts.
I'm working on scribbling it out.
That's one of my favorite stories ever, where I don't remember who tells it, but the Cowboys draft Zach Martin instead of a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
And Jerry slaps Steven on the leg going, "Well, you just played it safe, goddammit," and left. Like, yeah. He was like an all rookie, like all pro.
Oh, he was amazing. Yeah.
Like Zach Martin was phenomenal from the second he stepped on the football field and was just lambasted by dad for not taking Johnny Manziel.
I will say this, that 15 minutes or so might have been the greatest 15 minutes in the history of the NFL.
Oh, yeah, that was so great.
Was Jerry going to take Johnny Manziel? That was fantastic.
Didn't Reggie Evans tweet about? Oh, no. The Reggie Evans tweet was about a Tony Romo contract, I think.
Oh.
Reggie Evans.
The Jerry Jones, what the hell are you doing?
Who's Reggie
Evans? Reggie Evans, King's Legend?
King's Legend, Reggie Evans.
He tweeted about what?
March of 2013.
Oh.
He tweeted Jerry Jones, J-O-N-E, what the hell are you doing? And that...
Knowing what we know now about Johnny Manziel, like hindsight was like literally, he didn't do anything to prepare in the NFL. None of that. He was just the same guy he was in college. Like, can you imagine if he was in Dallas and just that spotlight?
That would have been crazy.
That would have been amazing.
That would have went so poorly.
I'm so sad that they didn't get Johnny Manziel.
It already went so poorly.
Well, no, like it just it would have went way like 1,000 times worse in Dallas. Jerry Jones, all that stuff just mixed in. It would have been
even more poorly.
Yeah,
you can always he played for the Browns. Blah blah blah. It's, I guess, the Browns.
There's that too. Can we quickly discuss the cultural differences amongst us? Because it's really
okay.
Oh boy,
we're gonna get into it today on the OKC.
It absolutely appears that James Hamm has a very fresh, fire haircut, and he's got the hat covering it.
That he gets every 6 weeks.
4 or 5 weeks.
Oh yeah, look, it's got the tight line on the side.
James, how recently did you get a haircut?
I get a haircut every 4 to 5 weeks.
This one though, like you just got this one recently.
No, like 2 weeks ago.
Did you really? Oh,
he's just got a good barber.
Yeah, your sides stay tight. That's crazy.
You know,
Penny gets a haircut every 2 days.
I have to show up every week to get my sides looking as clean as Hammer's look.
Have you ever been a hat guy in your life?
No.
My
ears are
tracks.
Way too big for that. Way too big. I have like fedoras. Like I have hats like that I'll very rarely break out. But like a baseball hat,
All right. Mariners Cal Raleigh hat or something.
Like it's some
big Mariners
home
guy
run,
over
home
here.
Run home run leader Cal Raleigh.
For now.
No, for now. There's at some point where things with my hair are gonna change and maybe I'll start becoming a hat person at that point.
Did Danny wear more fedoras lately?
Fedoras.
Flat caps?
Tango hats. Yeah. Like, if I can... I just don't know that I'll look good in a baseball hat. Like, I feel like my my ears are too big. My forehead. I just don't feel like
if
I
this
look
is
good
what
enough.
Your hair is now. Though, I feel like it's never really gonna go away.
That's
like
a good,
like nah. Yeah, like. Well, I don't know. Like, if you made it like, this long. Like, it's not gonna like you're not like yeah. I'm not like I'm saying you're not ever gonna go bald or anything.
When my forehead is getting bigger by the year, you just see it on the videos. Like, oh man, Dilo's forehead grew since the show since the show started.
Did
5 years
he get taller?
Ago. It's crazy. Now, Dilo
Bonds.
Thankfully, I have a fire barber that keeps my hair looking, you know, fresh, and I've gotten skilled enough to keep it, you know, looking mm-hmm. good for the camera and pictures and all of that. But it. At some point, it just ain't going to be enough.
Come home?
Yeah.
Is that something you think about, like how you're going to style it when the hairline starts?
Every time I wash my hair and all that stuff, it's like...
Yeah, do you have like a plan in place, just step 1, 2, and 3, just ready to go?
Nah.
I think you'll be good, though.
Yeah,
I think you'll be all right.
You got at least 10 more years.
I like how we're talking to him like he's losing a foot. Like, you're going to be fine. It'll be cool, bro. It's going to be okay.
Olympia's good now.
Sometimes you got two guys here who are already bald, and we're like, hey, it's going to be okay.
Sometimes guys would rather lose a foot than their hairline.
That's what I'm saying. James is older than me. James got great hair.
James got
like,
good hair.
James's good hair is hair. Set for life. Like, mm-hmm. he has the hair of a TV star.
Mm-hmm.
But...
There's man. Always like
I got out of the pool yesterday. I was like, God damn!
Like, oh.
Like, baby, you can't
gotta go clean the filter.
I was like, baby, you can't post that video. Like, we're not doing that.
Damien's gonna be out there wearing a swimming cap.
Oh, watch, looking like Phelps in 08.
Phelps. There's always little things that I think about with this station. I was gonna say something, but I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away, but there's things I think about with the station, like things that we could do here and there.
You know, what station? KIFM West Sacramento, KRS.
What the hell? Hey.
No, that was a joke.
Hey, if you don't put a minus on his ass real quick, pause.
I didn't even
do what you gotta do.
We don't talk like that. I was...
Wait, we going no call to play on?
No, that was a joke. Come on now.
We're going to go no call. Thank you. Hey, I'm going to need Damien to take a lap.
Oh, my God, bro.
Take a lap.
Wow.
They referee me like the Raiders.
I got your back, boys. It didn't land.
That's fine.
They referee me like Al Davis Raiders. Man. Everything a penalty with me.
But you're like Antonio Brown when he left the Bucks.
You dunked before the opening tip. Damien jumped and then laid it in.
Every game.
Andre Miller.
Pulled it back and then.
No, every game, Casey is removing the shoulder pads and throwing them to the stands every time. There's no in between.
What I was going to say, though, is one of the things we should do is we should take James to Damien's barber. And let him give him, like, the crisp lineup.
On a Saturday.
A crisp lineup, like. Have James go get his ears pierced. Like,
no, hold on. That's fine. That's fine. But I need Damien to go to James's barber.
Okay.
Oh.
Nah.
Oh.
Yeah, no. If we're going to do this.
We've got
to
do it.
If we're going to do this, I need Damien to go to James's place.
Next thing you know, you guys are going to be like selling me out like, hey, we need James to go to Kyle's tattoo artist. He needs a full sleeve.
We can make it happen.
That's a good idea.
Hey, COE, Dame, COE, content over everything.
Content over almost everything.
COE.
Damien walks into the barber, record scratch. Everybody's like,
oh. I'm wondering how I ended up
hey,
here.
Hey, who brought that guy?
Hey, does James's barber have like the blue and white little thing?
No. I go to a salon, excuse me.
Do you go to the same guy every time?
I go
or is
to
it a lady?
A lady.
A lady. Every time. Same
yeah.
lady
oh,
every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I have for
James
I
has
know,
some
principles. Decade plus.
There's just.
And I had another one before that for over a decade before that.
Okay.
These are things I don't have to worry about.
No, you don't. Good for you.
It's great.
You get the beer lined up, though.
It's feeling.
Yeah,
like
when
you do,
I.
Do you do
I,
it yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Unless I'm going to like an event, mm-hmm. then I'll. Yeah. But with that, because it's a beard lineup for the most part, I'm just like, eh. Like. You know what it looks like.
That's $40 too.
Mm-hmm.
For yeah. a beer lineup. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Wait, just for the lineup?
Yeah. For a good one, for sure. Hey, we haven't watched this video yet, and I'm really excited to watch this.
This is crazy.
This is from the Rams Cowboys preseason game. And this is CeeDee Lamb celebrating.
This is tough.
There's We'll get to the crux of the video first, where CeeDee Lamb is just actively in the way
Yeoman's
of the
on
official.
The sideline can clear things up as we look at CeeDee Lamb on the sideline,
yeah.
Pal.
Yeah, guys,
this
good.
Right in front
and of him.
CeeDee Lamb was celebrating Jonathan Mingo getting behind his defender. He was
celebrating Jonathan Mingo getting behind his defender, and this is my favorite part. Oh, my God.
Oh, goodness. What do they call that? That's the
right
Titanic?
Hat flying off?
Yo, that screen grab. It's crazy.
You gotta throw that on the Titanic right there.
Oh, man.
Hey, shout out to whoever that is on the Rams. They knew right away that was a penalty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because
he called that quick, like right there. He's like, "Hey, hey, yeah."
Can we?
Shout out to the quarterback too. Who the hell was that?
Hey, CD's celebrating. 5 yards. Look at this. He's got what was that? Four or five yards of separation.
Oh yeah.
Watch where this throw goes. Watch the receiver adjust to this throw.
Yeah, guys. This
oh god. Oh, we gotta stop.
Oh,
inside.
Come on, man. Come on.
It might have been pass interference too.
This is definitely a little PI.
Might have been Joe. What is it? Joe Milton is the backup right now.
Joe Milton's not under throwing that ball.
That's
That might have been Will Levis.
Oh man,
West Virginia great, right?
Will Levis.
Will Levis,
the West Virginia old
quarterback.
No, Will Greer. Will Greer. Yeah, not Will Levis.
Will Levis is on the Cowboys.
No, he's dealing with the shoulder injury. Yeah, Will Greer. Excuse me.
This is awesome.
This is there's
awful season.
There's not
Cowboys.
A good screen grab of
that. No, it's that's crazy.
No, that
was good. Oh, okay, all right.
That's a good one there.
No, man, come on, man.
For those of you who are listening on the radio, CeeDee Lamb just wandered into the path of an official who ran him over.
For those that are listening on the radio, that looked like the scene out of a prison movie.
It did. Yeah.
That's tough.
Terry Crews, like, what was it, the linebacker? Uh-oh.
This one?
No.
Dang, where is everybody?
We're back.
But I'm trying to...
Yep.
That one.
There we go. All right. That's what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That feels like something that we'll draw back to all year for the Cowboys season.
Of that just being the...
That's the 2025 Cowboys.
Yeah, when you find out CeeDee Lamb's missing the first 3 weeks of the season with a back injury.
Did you guys see the Dak? Who was he talking to after the game? He's like, yeah, we'll see you in the NFC Championship.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, is it just me? Is it just me? Or do we get like a new Dak quote about we'll be in the Super Bowl? We'll see you there every year, right?
Sometimes twice a year.
Well, the funny part was he was talking to the Rams. Like, yeah. Hey, your quarterback ain't coming back. Y'all hoes ain't going nowhere.
Matthew Stafford not practicing today
hey.
And in street clothes.
I didn't see.
Not even pretending.
Was expected to practice today, too.
Yeah. When was he going to try? It was today.
Today. They were expecting him to show up today.
Like,
show up. But
he's going to work out Saturday.
And the fact that no news came out over the weekend was the ultimate.
He was supposed to do individual drills, too. It wasn't even just practice, but he can't even do individual drills right now.
That's what I was wondering about. He was supposed to work out, and then they would see if he would practice. Apparently, I guess, I don't know. I haven't read anything, but apparently, I'm sure he worked out. And the fact that he ain't practicing today is like, that workout didn't go good.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
That didn't go good.
I'm sure you don't even have to work out. You probably can't even move at this point.
This reeks of 2 years ago.
When his arm was falling off?
When his arm was about to be amputated.
Mm-hmm. That's 1,000%. Like, that was the year. Like, yeah, it's just an elbow thing. It's going to be fine.
And over and over again. And I guess, I mean, maybe with an arm and elbow, I wouldn't, but maybe you can. But, like, you can't go, it's just a back injury.
What this reminds me of is listen to KIFL Sacramento.
Oh, wow.
KRXQHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320 Sacramento
Picked
Sports
off.
Leader. Always free on the Odyssey.
James telegraphed that.
I had
so
that.
Bad
he
too.
Did.
That
he
was
telegraphed
picked off,
it
man.
So
that was,
bad.
That was interception.
I caught James glance over at that scoreboard, then look back at the screen. I was like, James is ready.
I was looking at the clock. James we have this ready. Little tiny clock.
I think my pen's over there still, if you could just toss it.
Put that -1 on there.
It's a radio pick six right there. That's good stuff.
It was a good pick.
Yeah. James didn't see the coverage. No. He read cover two. They were in cover three.
Nathan Peterman over here.
Carter Bradley over here.
James was CeeDee Lamb and Kyle was the official.
Dang.
Here we go.
I'm wondering if CeeDee Lamb's going to miss time after that. I mean,
that was a tough shot. I mean, I imagine he won't, but I think the Cowboys have a whole host of issues.
Yeah.
Starting at the top.
Yeah.
So, okay. Let me ask you guys this.
Yeah.
Is Jerry Jones really the problem?
Yes. I think at this point.
The only reason why I ask.
Yeah.
Is because.
He brought you on the yacht.
Well, they tend to have good players a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to have the best of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gets in the way. Like, he is in front of the cameras and all this other stuff. But he's not John Fisher. Like, he invests into that team, talent-wise and money-wise. They have everything they need to be successful, and they just aren't successful.
Does he still,
I think it's – what do you mean?
Well, I mean, they could have had Derrick Henry. Just lied. We didn't have the money. And just
they don't. As far as cash spending, they don't spend like they should. But I think for me, the Jerry Jones problem, because you're right, it's not like, wow, this year team year after year just doesn't have any talent. The problem for me is they held on to Jason Garrett for far too long.
Oh, yeah.
The Mike McCarthy thing went on for too long, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bring in, and maybe Brian Schottenheimer is going to be an amazing coach. I'm pessimistic. It doesn't, it feels like Jerry Jones consistently is either trying to go cheap at head coach or finding someone who doesn't have any friction with him.
He's trying to go with someone who won't challenge him.
Yeah.
Yes.
He does not want to be challenged.
Yeah, he doesn't because of Jimmy Johnson. Like, he doesn't want that big personality.
Well, Bill Parcells, too.
Or Bill Parcells.
He's never gone back after Bill Parcells.
And Bill Parcells didn't win. He was like, I'm not going to do it this way no more. Mm-hmm. You guys told me to do it this way. It didn't win. I'm going to
go
my way.
In Bill's defense, he probably quit before he had the chance to I think Wade Phillips is a good coach. Wade Phillips is just the polar opposite of Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
But Wade won at an extremely high level when he came in that next year and I think the year after. I think they were 13. I think that was the year they were 13-3.
Yeah, when they lost, when Tony Romo with Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, the Cancun trip.
Yeah, but that's kind of like my point, though. Like, even if you talk about Mike McCarthy, I think his first 3 years in Dallas or whatever, the most wins in the NFL.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones isn't the reason why they were scared to death to play the 49ers in the wild card game.
Sure.
He also wasn't the reason why that defense, that Cowboys defense and that team was ready to play the next year when they played the Niners again.
Mm-hmm.
And Dak was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where I'm not saying Jerry's like absolved of anything, but they have
just
championship
a common denominator.
Teams and they just didn't get it done.
Yeah.
That's all.
Man. Yeah.
He doesn't get a pass. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And then the Derrick Henry stuff like that, that's on him.
I think the cash spending is a real thing, but he is a, like you said, he doesn't fall into the John Fisher class of bad owner.
John Fisher's also an extreme too.
John Fisher just is kind of by himself in terms of
alone.
Being a gargoyle. It just
I agree.
It feels very much like, hey, honestly, just to kind of bring it back to the West Coast, it feels very much down the path of where Joe Lacob's going. Where you had all this where you had all this success. And you're going to spend the money, but now we're going to win my way now. It's going to be James Wiseman. It's going to be Jonathan Kuminga. I'm the guy. These are my guys. Like, that's why they're having such a hard time getting rid of him.
Is this the first time Lacob has been left to his own devices or has not had somebody there to say, don't do this? Whether it's Jerry West, whether it's
Bob Myers.
Is this the first time that Joe's been, I don't want to say in control, but they haven't had somebody there to step in front of them and be like, no, this is how we're going to do it, Joe.
From what I understand from people who know people in the front office, that's a little bit how it's gone. Like, Travis Schlenk is out of there now. Jerry West is out of there now. Bob Myers is out of there now. And you have Mike Dunleavy Jr., who's never been a GM before.
Yeah, he can walk all over.
So I think it's very much trending toward Joe Lacob being like, we're going to do this my way.
Even when you bring that up, the way that they've presented the offers to Kuminga don't make any sense at all. Like, to go out there and just blatantly say, hey, we want a 2-year deal, the second year is a team option, and we want you to waive your no trade clause. Basically, we want everything and you get nothing except for, you know, maybe $12 million more than the qualifying offer, but you get nothing. Your rights, we will send you wherever we want. And even that team is going to be able to choose whether you're there or not. Mm-hmm. On top of that, your chances are you're losing your bird rights in any transaction. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole thing is a mess. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. To me, it really does, like, the whole influence of an owner is all over this.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're trying to appease an owner by keeping a guy that you really don't want and create this $20 million trade chip so you can trade him later, even though you really... then you're going to have to go back to the owner and fight that battle again.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's just a never-ending cycle of strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like that's the road they're headed down.
But yeah. would you classify him as a bad owner?
Not right now.
Okay.
When you have four championships in, what was it, 7 years? Like, you get a little bit of a pass for a minute, but at some point, there has to be some form of turnover and sustained success
in
a new environment.
So, wasn't expecting this plot twist of trying to defend Joe Lacob today.
Yeah, this is pretty wild.
But it's penny of you. Does that start to fall on the idea, and maybe, you know, Mike Dunleavy throws a wrench into this theory, but does it start to fall on the idea of I'm losing Steph, you know, Draymond, that championship team, which probably includes Steve Kerr, if Steve Kerr has any sense, will be gone. Mm-hmm. And so I can't expect Steve to do things the way that I want to because he's thinking about right now. Mm-hmm. I have to start thinking about my franchise moving forward.
Right.
And is there some fairness to the idea of preparing for life after the Dubs dynasty?
Yeah, yes. But in my opinion, they've not done it the right way.
Okay.
They've fallen in between two paths.
For sure.
You could have gone full youth movement and gone Kuminga and Wiseman and Moses Moody and whoever else they're going to bring in. And I know this sounds inconceivable, but you're trading Steph. You're like, hey, we're too competitive with him and everything revolves around him. So they're not going to do that, but they've also not pushed all their chips in to try and win a title while they have Steph because of what you're talking about. They're worried about life after Steph, but he's still good enough that you're like, all right, we got to kind of compete, but also we're not going to trade all these picks.
But what would pushing all of the chips in and on Steph be?
I think it's something that would have happened a couple years ago where you're not holding on to Jonathan Kuminga. You're trading him when
his value's higher.
When his value's higher.
I see.
And you're...
So is there a certain level of we missed, we were wrong, we did this wrong, so I'm going to spend a massive amount of money on going to get Jimmy Butler. Is that what that was? The idea of, okay, we've missed this. We've done wrong. Okay. I can salvage this by going to get Jonathan Kuminga. Going to get Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, you're at least, because Steph's whole thing has been just playing competitive basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He said that in whoever, yep. I forget who did the big, was it Tim Kuhn? Did the big piece on Steph last year where he just talked about playing competitive, and Jimmy Butler allows you to do that. Mm-hmm. You're at least like, look, here, we're trying to be competitive. I'm sure internally they think they can win a title. I don't. But that is at least a move where it's like, look, Andrew Wiggins, this is not it. Okay, Andrew Wiggins is not it. Kyle Anderson is not it. Dennis Schroeder is not it. Okay, we'll get these guys out here. We'll get Jimmy Butler in here, and then we'll try and figure out the pieces around that. Just raise the floor to being competitive, in my opinion.
Well, okay. I mean, I can't fault him for just wanting to have a chance, because the Pacers maybe are an extreme example, but there are an example of, like, just be around. Mm-hmm. You never know what might happen.
Their last title.
2022 Golden State.
Is exactly that. Just be around and have a good enough team that maybe, and you've got Steph, so maybe, and then boom.
You get the Nuggets without Jamal Murray, and then you get an inexperienced... What other team did they beat? They beat the Mavs in the conference finals.
Did they beat Memphis the first round?
Yes. Yeah, they got Memphis in the first round. And then, or the second round?
Was it without second Ja? It doesn't matter. It feels like they took advantage of...
Yeah, an inexperienced Memphis team.
Mm-hmm.
And then an inexperienced Mavericks team. And then an inexperienced Celtics team. Mm-hmm. Like they won the title, but that's why you just, hey, can we just be in the mix?
Right.
Just in case.
Yeah, especially, I mean, like, even this season, we all look at you know, OKC is like this freight train, right? Mm-hmm. But if Shea goes down, you don't know what that team looks like.
Right.
I mean, because their entire, you know, scheme is predicated on a guy who shoots the ball 20-something times a game and is like your one AAA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does that team look like without him? And if something were to happen, you could see the Warriors like, all right. Go ahead.
And the game, I think the NBA, especially postseason basketball, seems so predicated on matchups.
Yeah.
Nowadays, like teams matching up differently with other teams.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about OKC and how great they were in their NBA team. Mm-hmm. Needed a game 7 at home because Indiana was a tough matchup for them. Like, Indiana did some things that they were able to exploit some of the things. Denver, who I didn't think was like this super championship contender, also took OKC to 7 mm-hmm. because they had certain matchups or a certain level of experience. So you can get the right draw in the playoffs, and your path to a conference finals or NBA finals might be that of you're playing 3 or 4 teams that you just really match up well against.
Well, that, and we talked about, you know, like during at that moment, right? The Knicks were specifically built to beat the Celtics.
That's right.
They were not built to beat the Indiana Pacers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so the Indiana Pacers all of a sudden, like, oh, we've got this. Like, and it's not that you're a bad team, it's that, like, your offense, everything was just mm-hmm. wasn't ready for what the Pacers were. And so they were able to make it all the way to the finals. I mean,
and to a lesser degree, and this is, I think, what you were talking about last week, Kenny, where we've kind of lost the plot on, like, you're trying to win every game.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that you have 48 minutes in game one, and you're trying to win. Yeah. And then you're going to go to the next game, and you're going to try and win that one. I think that's a little bit where the Kings sit going into this year, where it's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, maybe you get into the play-in, and maybe you wind up as the 8th seed, and maybe Shea rolls his ankle in game one, and you steal game one. And then you're coming home, and you've got 2 games at home with a 1-1 series, and maybe you're all of a sudden trending toward an upset. Like, I think that's why when you have Domantas Sabonis and you have Zach LaVine and you have DeMar DeRozan and you bring in Dennis Schroeder, you're trying to bring in Russell Westbrook, and you feel good about Nate Clifford. Now all of a sudden you're going, okay, well, if we got these guys, we might as well give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's a little bit how they're looking at this.
Well,
and they'll adjust as needed.
And to the point, James just brought, we've talked about this before, they won a title doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, we can do it again.
Yeah.
Like, that title is so valuable for so many reasons to, like, the Warriors as a whole. Obviously, it is to Steph. Like, that is just an incredible championship. But that whole, like, I was listening to a Winhurst book recently. And I just, like, thinking about the Warriors is really interesting. The 2015 title is, you know, they were the best team in the league. They were phenomenal. Like, that's all great. But they got to play a Cavs team that had kind of hit their stride at the end of the season,
mm-hmm.
but lost Kevin Love
mm-hmm.
to the Kelly Olynyk armbar, lost Kyrie Irving, who was playing, you know, one-legged for both, but you know, most of the postseason. And you talk about what ifs. What if Kyrie? What if LeBron hits that shot at the end of game one and that mm-hmm. game doesn't go to overtime? Kyrie's around for game two now. Inevitably, it's the Tyrese thing. You could survive one game, like, can you survive another?
Mm-hmm.
And it's never brought up. There's more discussion about Draymond Green missing one game
mm-hmm.
than Kyrie and missing all but one and Kevin Love missing the entire series
right.
in 2015. And then the big dog comes in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like no one ever looks at the Warriors going, yeah, could they have done it without Kevin? They just lost to Cleveland. Cleveland mm-hmm. brought everybody back. Cleveland literally won the championship, talked Richard Jefferson out of retirement, brought mm-hmm. the team back for a third straight year. And no one said anything because there was nothing to be said. Kevin Durant joined a 73, you know, win mm-hmm. basketball team. And everyone looks at Kevin Durant funny for that. But no one looks at the Golden State Warriors funny for it.
Why would you?
Because you might not have won the title if Kevin Durant wasn't there.
I think uh-huh. they do. I think they hear that.
Oh.
They hear that. They hear that.
Yeah.
Steph hears that.
I never hear that.
Yeah, they hear that.
I hear.
The story.
KD gets killed for going there.
Whether it's true or not of Draymond, the way they tease him. You ran to the car to go call Kevin Durant after you lost game 7. They hear that a lot. They hear that a lot. And they just, it's fair because KD gets a lot of heat for it. Mm-hmm. It's fair that the Warriors hear that.
Yeah, like if KD's getting heat for it, the Warriors deserve equal amounts of heat. But what may have permanently taken the burden off of them was mm-hmm. winning in 2022.
Well, that to bring it back to today,
sure.
It's the reason why they don't want to give Kuminga up for – they want him as a trade chip because they look at Jimmy Butler, they look at Steph, and they think there's going to be another player that comes up during this season that could be the third that might get them over the top again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why they're also looking at Moody and they're looking at Buddy Hield. They're like, those are such valuable pieces. No, they're the only contracts you have between the Draymond Green at $26 million and all your scrubs that make nothing. You have two contracts at $11, $12, $13 million and Buddy scrubs and Moses Moody.
What did Pods do to you?
So mean.
I mean, on that team, they are playing with scrubs a lot of the time. You're like,
totally.
What exactly is happening here?
Totally. What's his name, Spencer?
He's not there anymore.
Pat Spencer?
Pat Spencer. What did Post do to you?
Quentin Post.
I'm just saying. That's why, though, they're looking for that $20 million trade chip.
And now what they're counting on is this young man's representatives, you know, and I don't think his representatives would do it. I think Jonathan Kuminga would be the one to have to go, I just want the money.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling like this is, and I mean, there's no indication, at least right now, that he's going to do that. But that is the business of basketball.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
where this whole thing gets kind of gross. It's like the collective bargaining agreement is allowing you to offer this kid $8 million. Mm-hmm. There are teams willing to pay him upwards of 90. But the rules allow you to do it this way. You're trying to sweetheart this offer by saying, well, we'll pay you 45 for two. That's about the average annual value mm-hmm. you want. But in return for that, you have to strip the rights that are given to you through the collective bargaining agreement.
Wild.
And that's where I feel like I feel like with this Kuminga thing, we just keep repeating ourselves. That's to me where the Players Association has to step in and say, no, I get it. You guys are negotiating. You can't do that, though. That's done to protect our players. You can't do that. Right. And at some point, the trade chip,
mm-hmm.
it's just a matter of will they, if Jonathan Kuminga doesn't blink, will the Warriors recognize you don't have one? Like you talk about, we don't want to lose this trade chip. Mike, Joe, Steve, you already lost it.
And if he signs for $8 million, you cannot trade him.
And that's it.
He's just going to sit there and say, you can't trade me. You can't do anything with me.
Yep.
It feels
and if
like,
my ankle hurts, then my ankle hurts.
Yeah.
It feels like there's a level of spite to this now.
And so
where he's like, bet, I'll play on that qualifying offer. That's not $8 million. I'm good off that. I know I'll get another contract. To hell with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think
it's also a, hey, Aaron. Turner, you don't get a commission off this anything, bro. Like you,
yeah, right.
you don't get.
You
this.
Didn't get this. You can get
the,
into my.
You can get the commission for my rookie deal. You don't get a commission off this one. Also, just to be safe, you're fired. just so we don't have to go through this again. I appreciate you. You're fired.
Yeah. Hey, Rich.
Yeah. we say this all the time. Would this be happening if Rich Paul was Jonathan Kuminga's agent or Jeff Schwartz or someone of that ilk? And I think the answer is no.
And part of that,
with that said, I don't know who Josh Giddey's agent is.
Well, part of that, you brought it up last week and you was spot on. I think Rich and Aaron and Duffy are great at what they do. But the other aspect of it is the Warriors are looking at Aaron Turner like, I don't have to deal with you. If I'm dealing with Rich, I'm going to have to deal with you in a year or two because you have a player that I want, or Bill Duffy or something like that.
They might have a player sitting there right there.
Are you reading the same thing I'm reading?
Oh, yeah.
About his agent getting fired in 2023?
Yes. Yes.
Who's agent?
Yes. Josh Giddey's.
Who's his agent?
Well, it was Daniel Moldovan.
And he was with Octagon, which is why Trista's with Octagon. Mm. She knew some of, you know, the Josh Giddey workings. And apparently a controversial social media post got him fired. Looking at him, I can't imagine what that post would be. It's very stereotypical of me, but... Josh, yeah, there's your boy.
A profane...
All right.
January 6th was awesome!
I'm about to say, in the NBA?
Oh, no, there it is, right there. Josh Giddey's agent fired by agency over Black Lives Matter.
I'm about to say, in the NBA, this is what you want to do?
In the wake of a vulgar response to a Black Lives Matter post on social media. Ah, well.
And them people didn't know how to handle themselves at that point. Yeah, no they idea. Was tweeting anything.
Yep.
Anything. They tweeted anything.
So that's who Josh Giddey's agent used
imagine
to be.
Imagine you losing a 6 or 7 figure job because you just couldn't keep your mouth shut on Twitter. Oh, that might have been a little too close to home. Sorry.
That was tough.
What was that?
Yeah. So wait, he got fired.
Shout out to DeMarcus Cousins.
Octagon, but did he get fired from Josh Giddey?
See, I don't see. I'm not sure.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did fired
by Octagon.
Also, it was Jerry Maguire situation. Ron Tidwell. Josh Giddey went with him in a goldfish.
Jerry's defense, was Jerry fired or? Well, I guess he was fired. Yeah, I couldn't remember if Jerry was fired or he quit.
I know you guys are going to think that I'm just going to go in here and flip out and everything.
I've been waiting for the Kenny Caraway, Tom Cruise impersonation.
We have all been waiting for that.
Free falling. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. Come on. You just got the new deal, man.
Sing to me, Jerry. Can you imagine having one big money client in the entire league and he says, sing to me, Jerry. Sing.
That'd be a bad beat.
Yeah, but I'd be singing.
Absolutely.
Whatever. What song you want? Yeah. Well, what is it, Rob? What you want to hear? Heat Wave, Always and Forever? What you
I
need?
Will drop what I'm doing to karaoke. Yeah. Like, you let me know. I don't even have to get paid for it. The thing with Kuminga is we're day 36.
Kuminga watch.
Yeah, no, it's very, very late. Very good. But the thing with him and betting on himself is, from what I understand, there's not a lot of cap space next year either. It's like Washington is going to have some.
There's not going to be a ton of money next year.
And maybe the Nets a little. So you're going into next year in an unrestricted free agency. It's like, man, I don't know if it's going to be out there next year.
And you probably still need the Warriors because I believe the Warriors still have his bird rights. So you're going to need them to sign and trade you if you're going
to
make any money.
That's to make the maximum amount of money with a non-cap team, right?
Like, well, yeah, but I mean, if the mid-level is at $15 million, that's the most. I mean, you're going to make around $15 million a year, 14.5, something like that. Because I don't think that there's going to be a bunch of teams out there, and there's certainly not going to be a bunch of teams out there that are willing to gamble on a now 23 going on 24-year-old who we don't know what he is, and they're not going to throw a bunch of money, especially if the Warriors restrict how he plays.
But at least it would be his decision.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
which,
true.
Which is what it sounds like is his biggest hang up in all this.
Would they, forgive me how these things work, would the Kings have any of those exceptions available to sign him if that was the market?
Well, they'd have a mid-level, yeah, and I guess
I can remember, they didn't use that on Dennis Schroeder, right?
No, they did not. No, they still have their mid-level right now, but it would put them over the first apron. So, and they're hard capped at the first apron. Yeah, it's difficult, but they will next year.
That's what I'm saying. If that's the market for them,
that might be what it is. It might be a $14.5 or $15 million mid-level exception.
Yeah, and so, for him, but he signed out with the Kings.
He signed up like a 4-year $65 million or something, as opposed to like the 3-year $63 million that he can't get right now.
Hey, before we go here, did you guys see what happened to Mariano Rivera over the weekend?
I heard about it. Is there video? Is there video?
I've not seen video.
It's your nightmare.
Yeah. He's playing in an old timers baseball game at Yankee Stadium and tore his Achilles.
That's your nightmare?
That's a nightmare for me.
Oh.
Tearing your Achilles?
Have you thought about this moment happening to you a lot?
Well, sort of. Not playing an old-timers game at Yankee Stadium. That would be an insane thing for me to think about.
That'd be crazy.
But the idea of doing any kind of athletic type of thing publicly.
Oh.
And tearing your Achilles, because it's just like, that's just a thing that happens. Even if you're throwing a frisbee around a park or kicking a soccer ball or whatever, and you just move wrong and your Achilles goes, you're the guy that tore his Achilles like trying too hard at whatever little activity you were doing, And I just don't want that on my resume.
It doesn't necessarily have to be
if I came in here like this, if I came scootering in Achilles thing.
With a boot.
Right. With the boot on.
I'm the Marvin Bagley signature boot.
Yeah, and I'm wheeling in on the one leg scooter and you guys are like, God, what? Oh my God, what happened? I tore my Achilles. Oh my God. Tore your Achilles doing what? Throwing a frisbee around at the park
that's embarrassing.
That's tough.
It's tough for Mariano too, because didn't he hurt his back one time trying to tie his shoe?
Oh,
I'm pretty sure he bent over. Right. Yeah, he bent over tying a shoe or whatever. He ended up hurting his back that way.
Damn. I know Sammy Sosa threw out his back sneezing, which I've done, which is horrible. That's the worst.
Yeah. You can the baseball players, they be messing up their ribs sometimes sneezing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have ribs that like slip out of place.
Oh,
yeah. And it feels like back injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because it circles around and it like
loading ribs. Yeah.
That's tough. Right. And then that's where your stomach winds up doing like that. Oh.
All right. Shout out to Damian Ham here.
That sounds terrible.
Well, let me show you what happens when you fracture your metatarsal. And and it turns quick, this way.
You know, I just noticed this week. Baldy, his finger.
Oh, you just noticed that?
Yeah, oh, my goodness. And then Lo'Neal.
Oh, Lo'Neal's.
Oh, they need to get the hardball surgery, bro. That's crazy. Have you seen Baldy's finger?
Yo, he said he puts his hands up like this. And
man.
Hey, Bobby Jackson. Bobby Jackson has some. Like,
Torrey Holt's got some messed up fingers, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need to get the hardball surgery. Because hardballs used to be crazy. Then he got surgery. And it's manageable now.
Well, it's manageable, but chances are they fused joints, so he's not very flexible in the hands.
Nah. Well, what do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and KC?
Bingo watch.
Thank you. Ken Rudolph doesn't text me very often, but when he does, it's always just... It's just a great text.
Is this something we could talk about?
Sure. He says, trying to decipher your social media life for now, so I have some questions.
Go ahead and join the show later on.
Are you still on the radio in Sacramento? Are you dating that little fine piece of pink thickness I see you with all the time?
What?
When are we fighting Grant Napier? Those are the three questions.
Wait, who was this again?
That's Ken Rudolph.
Oh, okay. You said Ken. My mind immediately went to Anthony. I was like, wait.
Oh, snap.
I was like, wait. I was like, say that again?
Wait, what?
Oh, that's amazing.
Ken just...
Oh, that's great.
I was just like, I got these texts to get off.
We'll talk a little bit about Sabonis' scrum yesterday in Rockland for his camp. The news that James and Sean broke regarding schedule releases, we're actually looking for a few more notes on that as we speak, and then we'll talk plenty of 49ers preseason football, all that stuff as well. James will come back with us at 3 to do it all over again.
Okay,
maybe we'll also at some point. I don't know if it's today or not. There's Jay Gayton broke some crazy news that the Causeway Classic may end.
Oh. What?
Yeah, because Davis don't want to play no more.
That track stingers up, baby.
Hey, David. Hey, Hammer. Tell your school to stop being a bunch of little bitches.
I know.
Yeah.
Fix the causeway. While you're there, fix the causeway. It's the worst stretch of freeway California.
That's facts. It is a disaster.
Go Sacramento, and we're gonna go home. Drink water. Be nice, people. See you guys.
But we're not.